Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Back to another show this week, and it's about alien abductions. Now, I just had Jim Maroney on recently, who talked about an abduction experience that he had near Winnipeg, Canada, back in 1987. And I found that very interesting. Well, this week, Marilyn Rubin, she's with www.abduct.com. And that's a site that was launched 15 years ago. She's out of Lansing, Michigan. How are you doing, Marilyn?
I'm doing real good, TJ. How about you?
I'm doing fabulous. It's the weekend, thank goodness.
Yes, we all love the weekend. Time to relax.
Now, you are from originally where?
I was actually born in Northeast Ohio. Grew up in Pennsylvania, moved to Michigan, and I've been in Michigan ever since.
And you've been here how long?
In Michigan or?
Michigan.
How long have I been in Michigan? 30, 40 years.
No kidding. Now, yeah. What you started this website back 15 years ago. What got you going on that?
It was a culmination of things that had been happening to me, and I had kind of reached my own mental decision that it was time to start researching and find out what was going on. And as I started exploring my own stuff, I realized it was happening to a lot of other people. And it was sort of my awareness. And I just felt a desire to get everybody on board with understanding what's going on as I sort of discovered it myself.
Now, if you go to the website, what are some of the things that you're going to find on the site?
There are all kinds of things at the website. There are sections on individual people's personal experiences. There's artwork. There's stuff about kids, alien symbols and marks, research. Book reviews, movie reviews, and then we also have contributing authors who have regular columns that send us information. We've got Donald Worley, who is an incredible researcher. He's been in the field almost 50 years researching abductions and working with abductees, and then he uploads what he's found out in his section. Lynn Taylor is a man from Indiana, and he's got some incredible stuff. He watches the military and some of the things that they're doing as they watch the aliens. So it's a good overview of what's happening out there.
So this is something that's got not just people that are abductees talking about it, but you got scientists, you got research people, and this has gone on for many years. And what got you started? Why did you have such an interest in this?
I had just a series of unexplained paranormal events as I was just growing up. I used to tell people that, well, you know, I have a lot of weird stuff that happens, but for me that's normal. And I kind of went into adulthood with that attitude and slowly came to realize, you know, other people didn't necessarily have these same experiences. And then in the 90s, I started having more and more of these experiences, and it was like, I call it my wake-up call. It was like somebody out there was trying to get my attention, like, hello, aren't you listening?
Right.
And so then I sat up and started paying attention.
Can you relay one of your more memorable experiences? Would you mind doing that?
The one that absolutely just sort of brought me to this alertness was going to bed that night and waking up and realizing I wasn't in my bed. I was somewhere else. I was in this kind of a UFO type environment. There were other people there. I didn't know who they were. And it was kind of, it was very scary for me. And I don't remember much about it, except I remember just being overwhelmed with fear. Like, why am I here? Who are these other people? Why are the people that I'm looking at sort of zoned out? These were the other humans.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I the only one that's awake realizing that there are these other beings around us that don't look like us, and they want me to go with them somewhere, and I don't want to go.
And can you describe what those beings look like?
They were just with the large eyes. The eyes are the thing that seemed to get everybody's attention. I don't remember any more than that because they were behind me.
Did you ever try to get? Did you ever try to get regressed to remember any of that in detail?
No, I don't remember too many more of the details. I remember that this happened three nights in a row. So by the third night, I was really just overwhelmed by all this. I remembered brief flashes of being put through some kind of very painful medical test, but I couldn't remember what they were. On the second morning, I woke up with a large rectangular bruise on my thigh, and it was strange because it was a perfect rectangle, and it was probably at least 2 inches on the long side and maybe an inch or so on the other side, and it was just a perfect purple. At the time, I did not think to take a picture of it, which is what I always advise people to do nowadays, but at that time, I was just so overwhelmed.
So,
and then I decided it was time to do something.
Did you ever find out what was going on, what you think may have been going on?
What I think was going on is that I think that there was alien contact in my life from the time when I was a very small child, and I may not have realized it at the time.
And what do you think they wanted with you?
Pardon?
What do you think they wanted with you, Marilyn?
They seem to want people who are open-minded, and I was a very open-minded child. I was very receptive to the belief and the notion that there were other people out there in space. I absolutely believe that totally. So I was very receptive. I was very curious. I was also one of those children very interested in science and what makes things tick.
So,
and I've noticed that they seem to like that kind of a mindset.
But what do you
think
they
can work with?
What do you think they're trying to do here, at least even in your own case? What are they trying to do with this?
Well, I think in my case, I think they want me to disseminate information. I think for a lot of people are just their test subjects.
Test subjects.
Just human guinea pigs, you know. If you're familiar with the research that goes on in the university labs, they use a lot of white rats, white mice for their research. And I think for many of the alien groups, that's how they regard humans, as just their study group.
Now, do you think there's more than one group that's visiting us?
Yeah, there have to be, because they look different. They have a different attitude, different mindset. Some people have tried to count the groups, but to me, that's like trying to count the number of grains of sand in the ocean.
Do you have any speculation on to how they can get here or where they're from?
I think they're from all over the universe. I think some of them come from very far away, distances we can't imagine. Some of the information I've gotten is that they can be here in the blink of an eye because they don't necessarily travel through physical space.
So like a wormhole, something like that?
Well, I've got an interesting article at the website that explains how they describe it. They say the wormhole is a word that humans can understand, but it's not really what's happening. It's more of an instant process. It's like they think it, and they're here. And yet, in our way of thinking, we think about NASA and rocket ships and getting fuel tanks and how to go from point A to point B. And for them, it's not a matter of distance. It's a matter of time.
So they're using their thoughts.
Yes.
To travel.
Many of them, the more advanced ones, not all of them.
Isn't that something? And, you know, I can relate to that as far as, you know, I'm into all kinds of different strange, unusual things. But if you look at people that have near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, they can travel in a moment wherever their thoughts take them and be right there. So if that's an accurate portrayal of what we can do, who's to say we can't do that in a physical body?
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. And maybe that's the way they get around if they're from a far distance away. Do you think they have good intentions with mankind?
I think some of them do. Yes. I think they're like people on Earth. We have some really wonderful people, and we have some really awful people, but most people are in the middle. And my guess is that aliens are probably the same way. A few really good ones, a few really bad ones, and the rest of them are probably mainstream.
So advanced technology does not make you a better society, does it, necessarily?
No, not necessarily. It gets you into more trouble sometimes.
That could be. Just look at us. If we had more power and more weapons, what would we do? A lot of us. So,
yeah, we might not be here having this conversation.
Perhaps not. Now, you made it sound like there's a communication that you've had with these beings.
Well, I think anyone who's had an alien contact experience has experienced communication. It's usually mental. They think a thought and it's in your head, but you know it came from them and not yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A few of the alien groups speak. Some of the people have heard what sounds like chirping, which is the best word I can use to describe what an alien voice does sound like. So even among themselves, their communication is apparently mental.
No kidding.
Speech is just reserved for us lowly humans.
We haven't figured out how to do it telepathically, I guess, have we?
Right.
But that's part of something we could become.
Yeah, eventually.
That's something we could look at. Well, you said you had a bunch of other people that have reported abductions. Would you relay some of that, perhaps?
Sure. I get a lot of questions from parents writing in. They're very concerned because their children will talk about the stranger that woke them up during the night. And, you know, people always worry about their children. And when they hear their children saying things like that, and then the child starts to describe to them maybe a short little being with large eyes, or the other thing is faces floating over the bed at night. I mean, you can imagine if you were a kid,
mm-hmm.
heck, even if you're an adult, how terrifying that would be. But those are a lot of the things people write about, and they want to know, has anybody ever else reported this before, or are they the first ones? And I always write back, or I tell them, no, you're not the first one. It's happened to a lot of people. May not make you feel better, but it's been experienced by many other people. A lot of parents write in and talk about either they or their children woke up and have some unexplained marks on their bodies. Now, these are not ordinary scratches that you might give yourself at night if you're sleeping and you have an itch and you scratch it. Some of these marks have incredible detail. They almost look like something that was imprinted or stamped or tattooed on. They usually don't have any pain associated with them, and the person generally can't remember how they got the mark. But after a little bit more probing, they will usually admit that, yes, they think they've been having alien abduction experiences all of their life. That's usually what unfolds.
And generally, is it like a family or generations that seem to get repeated with that?
Yes, it does seem to be. What's interesting is if you look back in your own family line, if you think there's somebody in your family, then you take a look at the parents, mother or father, and then take a look at their parents. Now, back around 50, 60 years ago, people would never, ever have talked about any of this, so it gets more complicated trying to figure out which of your ancestors, whether or not they've had alien contact experience. One of the clues might be if you knew the person growing up, maybe they shared a few little stories that might have seemed like on the edge of the paranormal. That might be a clue that that person experienced some things.
So you have to pay attention. You have to ask a lot of questions. And if mm-hmm. you're like that as a young child, which, you know, I had a lot of strange things as well growing up, that's why I do this show, because...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because...
Is there anything that stands out in your mind that made you wonder as a kid?
Well, I saw a craft when I was in third grade, maybe. Well, how old is that? 7, 8 years old.
Okay.
And my parents witnessed it as well, and it was huge. It was oval, and it was going across the horizon, and had different colored lights, and it just slowly went across the horizon. And then in 1992, I had a visitor in the bedroom, and he was a gray, if you want to call him that, about 4 feet tall with big black eyes, and basically paralyzed me, and I just wanted to see if they existed, and I kind of like. I read somewhere that if you think about it and focus on it when you go to bed, you can kind of pull these things into your life. And
yeah.
That night, or early in the morning, he showed up, or she, and just basically, I think, said hi. Now, maybe more took place. I never was under hypnotic regression, so I don't know if anything more, if they did anything to me. But it was just for a few minutes, and finally the paralysis started to leave me, and then I was out like a light, and I woke up the next morning, maybe 9 o'clock, and I remembered it clearly, and for a while I dismissed it and thought it was a dream, but then, you know, you realize that a dream just isn't that vivid unless you wake up right after it, and over time it fades, and this is still very clear in my mind. So I've always kind of been a believer. My mother was a believer, so there you go, right?
Yeah, there you go, and Your experience, I think, is very similar to many other people's. What you remember was either the start or the end of the contact experience.
So they definitely took me somewhere, you think?
Yeah. Most likely they did. More and more abductions seem to be where they just come into the room, communicate, and leave. But in the 90s, yes, they probably took you somewhere. And your the paralysis was very common.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. They can't seem to turn off all of our brain power.
Well, the thing is,
our eyes.
When I was in that state, I remember a thought hitting me, and I think it came from this being. And the thought was, if you have no intention of hurting this being, it'll loosen the reins a little bit. And the minute I thought to myself, well, I have no intention. I just wanted to see if you're there. And the minute I accepted that, I was able to start moving my arms a little bit, my chest. And I was no longer nervous at that point in my head, but I couldn't move it a lot, but just enough to where I felt comfortable again. And that's when I blacked out, and I don't remember anything after that.
Oh, that's interesting. There are some people who jump up and they try to hurt the aliens, and they'll send me an email, oh, yeah, I think I did this or that to it. That's really aggressive to do that.
That's not smart,
but
I think.
Your experience shows that the communication is mental and that they relax the reins on you, and you were able then to be more relaxed because you're a better subject for them if you are relaxed.
Great, now I'm a good subject.
You're a good subject. I will bet you that they came back again, whether or not you remember it.
Interesting. Well, we got to take a break. I'm talking to Marilyn Rubin with www.abduct.com. And she's out of Lansing, Michigan. And we'll continue this conversation and maybe find out what if people can see some clues if they've been abducted. We'll do that in just a moment.
Out there.
You know, something hit me, and it just actually, this was recorded on a Saturday, and I'm piecing this together, this show, as we speak, and it'll be up on the site. Matter of fact, you're listening to it right now. So, now that I think about it, because she asked me if any, I guess I never really kind of put these things together, and you wonder sometimes if, am I really missing something? Let me explain this. I talked about seeing something when I was about 8 years old, and then seeing something also when I was in my early 30s. Well, when I was about 4 years old, I used to have these things happen to me, and they happened a lot. And now people have told me that it was an out-of-body experience, or I was having some kind of a moment of awareness, and I always thought it was maybe an out-of-body experience. I would wake up, and this happened at least that I recall a dozen times, and the whole room was vibrating, and my brother's bunk bed ahead above me was vibrating. It was like shaking almost, and there was a noise, like a vibrating noise, and I remember looking around the room, and everything was vibrating, and when I tried to talk, my voice was vibrating, and again, when I was a kid that age, I just dismissed it, and then years later, I thought, no, that's something. There definitely was something there. Now, after talking to Marilyn, first part of this show, I wonder if it was part of an abduction process. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe it's nothing. I know it wasn't a dream because I was wide awake when those things happened. But if you start doing that in your own life, maybe you can find some things that you dismissed. There's been some weird things, I swear, that happened to my brother and I when we were younger. And right up to adulthood. So who knows? Have I been abducted my whole life? I don't think so. But maybe I need to go under hypnotic regression. Maybe there's some things I need to learn. Coming up next week, we're going to bring back Debbie Tibbles. And she's going to talk about her amazing son who passed in the spirit. His name was Oliver. It's the Ollie Tibble Stories All Aboard. We're going to actually... We did this before, so we're going to go a little different with this. Her book is coming out on the 15th, so perfect timing on that. You'll be able to order her book, and it really is an amazing, amazing story. You know, you come to the realization that I just believe we all have choices, and some choose to really serve in the highest way they can. and it means a big sacrifice as we see it. And that's kind of what I take away from Oliver. So we'll get to that next week with Tibby. Thanks for enjoying the show. Feel free to contact me if you wish. Thanks for listening to Out There.
It's Out There. Out There. Out There. Out There.
Thanks for joining me on Out There. My guest this week is Marilyn Rubin from Lansing, Michigan. And she started a website 15 years ago about abductions, www.abduct.com. And I'm guessing you've had millions, well, maybe not millions of hits, but you've had many, many hits over the years and many interactions with many different people.
Yes, TJ, I have. In fact, many, many millions of hits. I've reset the counter a couple of times accidentally, but yes, many millions of hits. Many people visit the website every day, get many letters.
Do you feel that they always give out surveys that say we have a small percentage, 40% of people that might believe in this? Do you think that's a bigger percentage, or is that fairly accurate?
Well, it depends exactly how specific the question is probing. According to the Gallup polls and whatnot that I've seen in the last year, the majority of the public, of the American public, is receptive to the idea that, yes, there could be life in outer space. But then you've got this other segment that will say, well, sure, there's life in outer space, but they can't get here.
Right. How can they get here? We can't get there.
Right.
And our limited thinking. And all you got to do is look back in history, and you can see how we progressed with our travel techniques. And 200 years ago, they would have said, well, there's no way you're going to be able to get over to China in a day. So things change, and we are, I think, probably not nearly as smart as we think we are. And there are intelligences much more intelligent than us, and probably societies that have been around a lot longer than we have.
Well, maybe millions of years.
And if you give them that far of a head start, they got to be, chances are, if they haven't destroyed themselves, they would probably be pretty smart and knowledgeable. So we were going to talk about the signs that people could see. Now, you were telling me that you think I've been taken probably more than once. You know, my mom, she passed away in 97, but I remember towards the end of her life, she kept telling me, because I'd call her every weekend, and she's about 50 miles from where I do this broadcast, and she would tell me, you know, there was a big light outside the window last night, and I know it wasn't the moon. And I said, are you sure it wasn't the moon, Mom? And she would say, no, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. And she was very open. So I wonder, you know, maybe she was involved in that in some way.
It sounds like she was, and it would be interesting if you knew her mother or if you could recall any stories from her mother or her father, you know, your grandparents.
Yeah, well, the problem...
Did they experience anything?
The problem with that...
Any whispering?
The problem with that is that her parents, she came over from Germany, and her mom died during World War II, and her dad died in 60. So kind of that end of it is probably hard to pursue. But but the thing is, I believe, and I don't really need a whole lot more, you know, as far as...
Okay, I did too.
As far as the background of it. Now, we were going to talk about maybe if there's people listening and they think, well, you know, I've had some strange things happen. I've ignored them. I don't want to approach them. And the thing is, you shouldn't have fear. Would you agree with that?
Right, I would agree with that, but it's so hard. It's like telling a child, don't be afraid at the doctor's office. You know, they don't believe you.
Well, you have to overcome fear in order to take a step forward, at least some of the fear. And I wanted to ask you about, there's probably certain signs. You've had signs and marks on you. Are there things to look for?
Yeah, there are some signs that are clues that there are abduction things going on. Aside from the obvious, which is, the person that, you know, has a pretty good recall of what happened. Another good indicator that most people haven't thought about is, are you one of those individuals that has many UFO sightings? And by many, I'm saying probably you've seen more than 5 or 6 UFOs in your life. There seem to be people who will see one UFO and nothing ever happens to them after that. Then there's the other group that can... Once you start asking them, they will just download all kinds of stories they've seen. The UFO flew over the car, it did this, it created a fog, they drove through it, suddenly something happened. Another clue is when people are out driving and they suddenly get to their destination and realize, wow, why did this trip take 3 extra hours longer when I didn't stop anywhere?
and missing time.
And what's happened is people have been abducted on the highway while they're driving.
Now, how do they do this? I asked my last guest this. How can they do this in plain sight?
It's like they switch other people off. That's about the only way I can describe it.
So basically, they put a thought in your mind so you don't see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That would make a lot of sense to me.
If you ever experience it, it is a very strange feeling, and I have, to be in a group of people and realize that only two of you are watching the UFO do its weird little thing in the sky on a bright sunny afternoon, and nobody else in your group can see it.
Hmm.
That kind of sends a little shiver through you when you think, wow, I'm turned on and they're turned off.
Isn't that something? But in a way, don't you think it's kind of is it a blessing in some ways?
It depends who you are. If you're the one that wants to see the UFO, no, it's not a blessing. Some people would rather not know about their contact experiences, and I always say to them, why wouldn't you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, they don't want to be the subject of some other group, or they don't want things being done to them against their will, but I think we need a slightly more open mind about it.
Do you think things are being done against us, against our will? Do you think that that's going on?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
So people, you don't think at a subconscious level somewhere that maybe this is part of an agreement?
I've heard that argument made so many times, and I think there may have been an agreement between you and the alien, You said you mentally thought, don't hurt me, and I'll be quiet, and they lighten up the hold on a person. But the part about is there an agreement, I really doubt any of that. I sometimes laugh because the people that really want to promote that idea are ex-military, and I think they want us to believe that our military is more powerful than it really is.
I guess that's not what I'm not going that direction. I'm going the question I'm asking is I believe everything in life happens for a reason, and there's a divine order to all things. And so before we come here to this place, which we call life, we make certain agreements, certain things we want to experience and learn. Do you see any of that?
Yeah, I do. And I think there may be something to that because sometimes people have to experience certain things in life, and who knows, maybe we are really, truly evolving, and maybe we need to have these interactions so that we can learn and progress as souls on some kind of a higher order of things that maybe we don't fully accept or understand.
Right, and I'm thinking if that's working for us, it's also working for those that are visitors, that they're getting something out of it in return.
We might be helping each other somehow. To a higher level.
There's so much stuff that's out there right now. Do you find there's a lot of disinformation?
Yeah, there's just an overwhelming amount of disinformation, and it's really too bad. But I don't see that changing anytime soon. Part of it is that even among the UFO abductee group, they fight among themselves too much, and they actually set their own cause behind as far as trying to enlighten other people. You've got the military. The government forces out there, basically, and I'm referring to the United States, they don't want to admit that there are UFOs coming into our atmosphere daily. On the other hand, I don't think the extraterrestrial life forms want to go public and announce that they're here. They're never going to land on the White House lawn, so to speak, and say, hello, we're here. And so I think both groups, the UFO group and the military group, are both benefited from this mutual silence that they have. Each one, they're just in denial of the entire existence of extraterrestrial life. And meanwhile, you've got the public on the ground saying, we saw these weird things happening. We think something's going on, but our military says it isn't happening. So who do we believe?
The thing is,
it's an interesting challenge.
There are those that are former military, and there just was a meeting the other day, wasn't there? Former military people came out and talked about different UFO sightings and interactions that took place. There was a group of people, was it in Washington or somewhere on the East Coast?
Yeah. I have found that the greatest believers in UFOs that are actually working very hard behind the scenes at many of the websites and who helped me out are ex-military. And some of these people had really very powerful experiences, either chasing a UFO, while in the service or being part of some of the research going on with some of the technology. So they know it's real, but they can't say too much.
Would you say
they are there?
Would you say, Marilyn, that there are places on in the United States that are more hotbed areas where people get taken, or
yeah,
is this happening?
Seem to be.
Where would you say are some of the places where you hear a lot of reports?
Oh gosh, it changes. There's some spots out west. There is that have been written up in a couple of books. I can't think of which state it is, but there are a couple of spots where they're very they're populated with a Native American population. And the Indians had reported for years that there would be strange things happening in these areas. And as the Indians move out of an area and these areas become built up, other people continue to have those experiences. I don't know why, but so it could also be that maybe people in those areas are just more receptive or they're paying more attention.
It seems like the Native culture does have a lot of interaction. If you if you study some of the cultures, and we have Native culture up here that's pretty strong, and they seem to have a connection as well up here. And is that more of that open-mindedness, that earthy connection?
I think so.
That has something to do with it. So if you don't want to be abducted, if you're listening right now and you don't want to be abducted, don't have an open mind.
Don't have an open mind, right. And they'll probably leave you alone.
Be as closed-minded as...
If you are an abductee and you're willing to overcome your fear and just be more of a researcher, explorer type person on it, you can probably start having better quality experiences with aliens.
Now, what about hypnotic regression? Is that something, a useful tool that can bring out memories?
It's a good question. A lot of people ask me that, and what I tell them is you have to mentally prepare yourself for it, because what may come out of your regression are experiences that up to this point in time you have not been able to remember or to react to. And when they do come tumbling out from a regression, suddenly you will be faced with dealing with the emotions that go with those experiences, like, how could they do that to me? Or how could they do that to my brother and my sister? You know, how dare they? All those kinds of emotions come tumbling out, and it's going to take a while for the person to work their way through all of that stuff. So if they're ready to do it, I say go ahead and try it, but make sure the person that you work with has worked with other abductees.
Somebody like...
I wouldn't go to just somebody who does, say, no smoking. No, so that's not going to be your best person.
I was smoking with this group of aliens, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then. People, I've heard over the years, you hear so many things, and I follow this a bit. I mean, not as much as you do, but... Some people believe like we're procreating with one of the races. Do you hear any of that?
Oh, yeah, lots of that.
Do you believe
a lot of people have been showing their hybrid children. A lot of the missing embryos that occur, the women will tell you privately that they had a dream a month or two after they got pregnant, and some little large-eyed creatures came and removed the little fetuses. One of the most interesting cases... that I heard was actually told to me by the woman's, by the gynecologist.
Wow.
Who was an acquaintance of mine, and she was sitting there with her patient. They both told me the story. The woman had been, she had gone in for a checkup. The doctor told her she was 3 months pregnant. And then a couple weeks later, the woman had a dream where the aliens came and they removed the fetus. She went into the doctor's office. She called the next morning. She said something. She said she knew something was wrong. Something had happened to the baby. She went in. Now, the doctor's telling me the story with the patient sitting right there, and says the woman came into the office. They checked her immediately, and the doctor looked at me and said, you wouldn't believe it, but there was absolutely no sign that there had ever been a fetus. She said that woman had been scraped as clean as if she'd never been pregnant.
Interesting. And that's, you can't explain that. You can't explain.
And that's the doctor telling me this.
Wow.
And she said she knew the woman was pregnant because she had seen her a couple weeks earlier.
And usually it's in the first trimester, isn't it?
Yeah, normally.
That they'll take the child. And like you said, many people have actually been shown these children. Why would they do something like this, in your opinion, Marilyn?
Well, supposedly it's to get the person to help the hybrid child overcome its ill health. And they want to see some kind of bonding between the hybrid child and the human mother. I personally am not sure if I believe that aspect as being the reason. I would think it would be harder for a hybrid child to finally see who its mother is and then be taken from that person and not see that person ever again.
Right, but why would you breed the human part of it into your race is what I want to know.
Well, supposedly what they say is reproduction has become an issue, a very problematic issue in many of the alien groups. And there is something in our DNA that they need that they don't seem to have anymore. I have mixed feelings on that because I'm thinking if these civilizations are 10,000 or 20,000 or a million years ahead of us, couldn't they have figured out that DNA problem already?
You would think so. Now, would you describe these beings as emotional, the ones that you've dealt with?
The ones that are the little ones, the little grays that come and get people have no emotion.
No emotion.
Once a person is in the scenario where they're in communication with the aliens that may be around them, that person will have some emotions sometimes. But the communication at that point is on a higher level. It's not just the involvement of getting the person from point A to point B, which is from their bed to the UFO.
Right. You definitely know that something else is going on. There's no reason to bring them on board the ship. Hey, take a look around. You know, I've had, there was a woman and a husband, her husband, on my show a long time ago, one of my first shows, and she said she was taken right out of her bed. And her husband woke up. And she wasn't there. And he thought, she must have went for a walk or something like that. He went and laid on the couch. And when she came back, he wasn't in the bed. So they kind of supported each other. But she was taken on board this ship and was shown what she believed was their world. And they were very courteous to her. And they were very concerned about her. And they asked her if she wanted to lay down. And they asked her all these questions. And eventually she said, I just want to go back. And they brought her back. Have you heard stories like that before?
Similar stories, yeah. Most people don't have that positive of an experience, but I'm glad she did. I think it gets back to what I said earlier, that if a person can keep an open mind and try to keep their own fear in check, they are more likely to have such an experience as you described.
Now, there is also, and we're just about out of time, but you know, I've heard for many years that they put a little chip on us so they can keep track of us. Is there any evidence of that, or how do you feel about that, Marilyn?
Well, you know, I would say I wouldn't believe it, except I've actually seen it. I've seen different ones. Probably the one that really, really freaked me out was in a girlfriend's hand. It was in the palm of her hand, and it wasn't a rectangle, but it was an unusual shape. It was under the skin, and it did look like some kind of a computer chip, and it was in her hand for 2 weeks, and... Okay. She could not have put it there herself. The whole thing was so super strange. And then she had to go out of state on a trip. She came back and she called and she said that she'd had a dream during the night. She thought it was an alien dream, and she was not really big on aliens and any of that stuff. And she said the thing in her hand was gone. So I looked at her hand too, and it was gone. I don't know how something that is about a half inch, 5/8 inch long on one side could just disappear like that.
Now, if there is a chip that they put in you, where would they? I mean, I've heard that they put them by your nose, they put them in your knees, they put them all over the place.
They do. They do put them all over the place. People tend to remember the nose one, and I've had friends that recall sneezing them out as kids or trying to dig them out.
Really?
Kind of a creepy thought. Yeah.
Would they show up as a lump on your body, or I mean, is there any way you can feel them, or what?
Yeah, you can. I've seen some people have them near the underside of the elbow, and it'll be a little dot under the skin. It can actually be anywhere. It can be in the toes, just all over the body. Oftentimes, what I hear is that they're actually inside on the organs, and they'll show up during certain kinds of x-rays. And now I had a friend who had one at the base of the spinal column, where it joins with the brain, and that was quite fascinating looking at that, because what the doctors told him was that there was no technology on Earth that could have put it there, and he said to them, well, can you get it out? And they told him, no, if they tried to remove it, it would kill him.
Wow.
And I have heard other stories like that from other people.
That's amazing. Well, we're out of time, and I believe we can, if you don't mind, we'll do this again, because I know there's probably many, many other things we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, I would certainly enjoy doing the show again with you.
If you want to check out our website, it's www.abduct.com, and there's a whole bunch of information. You have researchers on there, you have articles, you have so many different things, it looks like. I'm looking at it right now. Book reviews. So people get a perception of what may be going on. And there's so much out there in the world. So thank you very much, Marilyn Rubin from Lansing, Michigan.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
Go ahead, caller. What is it?
I just wanted to dispute this alien thing. I think that's a load.
Well, you don't think they exist?
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Sir? Hello?